August the 9th, 2018. From the Lucy Coleman Studio in Los Angeles, California, in the United States of America, on God's good great planet Earth. Thank you for joining me for another webcast. Holy living are living holy. There's a grave difference. Now let's see. I believe it was November 2008 that I did this study. Well, that I wrote this piece. It's somewhere up on my website, I believe, on the commentary section. I'd like to do something different. I love the classics. I will always love the classics. It's going to get loud right now. Listen. We must never come to the point in our Christian lives where we get too confused. Holy living, that's H-O-L-Y, or living holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y. That's the question. God commands all of His children to be holy, even as He Himself is holy. When we look in the Old Testament and we read Leviticus chapter 19, verse 2, speak unto the congregation of the children of Israel, and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. I am also fully aware that this is speaking of the children of God's own choice, Israel, way back in the Old Testament times. The reference also concludes that if we are a part of Christ's body, in other words, Christians, and I'm not talking about following an ethnic savior, I'm talking about following the Spirit of Christ in holiness, that we too are to strive to please our Lord in divine holiness. Now, I have a note here. And it says, see Hebrews 12 and 10. I'll let you go there. Because the question that faces the church today in America is, how might we do this without compromising God's character? Now, I asked this question some 10 years ago. Because it was about Barack Obama had just come into the political scene. We were getting ready to nominate our first black president. And I began to look up all the things that Barack believed that he adhered to. And I knew that I wasn't going to cast my vote for him. I don't care if he is black like me. That is not the criterion in which someone votes for someone because of the color of their skin, but rather, as Martin Luther King would say, the context of one's character. Yeah. And we've compromised as a church the character of God and its true meaning. There are ideas kind of floating around these days, speaking to our hearts and minds and souls concerning the thoughts about living wholly or fully. I call this living the complete life. Lives that are filled with laughter, fun and games, happiness, contentment, and sheer joy. That sounds like America during vacation time. Ooh, where are we going? What are we going to do? What are we going to do to be happy? You know, I was married to Lucy 34 years, and we took the family one time on a family excursion, I guess a vacation, to Hawaii. As a matter of fact, it was, I'm not sure of the year, about 1988. And that's the only family vacation that we ever took, besides going up to Big Bear, Lake Arrowhead for a couple of days. But I'm talking about getting in a jet plane and flying away. The girls were excited. Lucy was excited. We had a place to stay with some friends in Pearl City, Hawaii. And we were just excited about that. I was thinking as the plane took off. I'll never forget my thoughts. It was taxiing down the roadway. And I said, Lord, I'm speaking to myself, I'm praying as I'm strapped in the seat, and the plane was loaded bumper to bumper with people, families vacationing in Hawaii. And I said, Lord, if you found me faithful, please protect my family on this excursion, because I'm not going to have a bunch of fun. How can I have fun when I see what's happening all around me? That's the way a pastor feels. He's not going to compromise the way he should feel about things just to have fun. No. No. Our culture is inundated with these kinds of ideas. We have pet insurance for our dogs and cats. We can't stand the thought of losing one of these animals in death. We would have to make an appointment with our shrinks in order to get us back on the focus as we bury the groundhog. Can you believe that? We opt for the largest homes, and I find that interesting because these are some of the homes that are burning up on the mountainsides of California some 10 years after I made this statement. These huge mega homes are burning up in the hills. The sun is out in Los Angeles today, but it's a haze, kind of a smoke haze, and a warm breeze blowing in from the west, keeping the Santa Anas hot with fury. And it's going to keep that fire burning. I feel the warm air here off the coast. I'm not far from the beach. We build the largest houses, the latest gadgets to entertain us, while we sit in our gas-guzzling vehicles on the freeway for hours listening to the music and drinking cool drinks. That's living holy, wholly. That's become the New Age objective, which we equate with living large. That's what Americans like to do. It's about how much we toss out, as opposed whether or not we are required to have the stuff that we need to lose in the first place. We suffer, I think, in America today from wanting too much of everything. Some of us think that all we have to do is to petition God for more of the same, anytime, any place, simply because we have covenant rights. Now, if you've never heard that before, that's when these fools back in the 70s and 80s called themselves the king's kid. You see, I'm the king's kid, so I can have this. And we feel bad when we say, oh my God, they lost everything in the fire. No, they didn't. I saw them standing in front of a camera looking stupid because the material is gone and they have their lives right before them. I don't get it. Covenant rights. Yeah. We want to be safe, well, happy, fulfilled, compensated in every way possible. We Americans. That's the way we've been bred to live. We have these thoughts that as Christians, everything in our lives reek of success and physical fulfillment. Well, I got some news for you, my friends. Nothing could be further from the truth as found in God's Word. Oh, no, Pastor John. Oh, no, you don't. Don't enter in the negative thoughts, man. Keep it cool. Why are you talking to me like this? Talking to you like that because I know you don't want to hear me. I know. Yeah, but Pastor John, you're coming against the very promises of God as stated in the Bible. Is this what you might think? See, my friends, we have adopted this whole life mentality. We want the entire package that is offered somewhere between the pages in our fantasy land Bibles that makes us appear to be a special kind of abstracted person separated from the woes of this world. Well, I got some news for you. We're not separated. We will experience the abstractness. It is our duty to do so. The anointing, you may say, that we possess, PJ, now has exempted us from suffering, harm, danger, or possibly even death. Well, what I see in my mind coming on America, here 10 years after I wrote this, and I may be jumping the gun when I say this, but this weekend in the Carolinas, where the white supremacists are meeting, and the governor of Virginia, I think it is, called out the National Guard to keep peace in the city in Charlottesville. Come on, man. What are we doing? And you know what? I told you guys when you start tearing these statues down that these people, their whole families, their lives believed in. But then you're messing with something that is deeper than just a statue of Robert E. Lee. It's a way of life. I don't agree with that way of life, and I'm sure that a lot of white folk in this country don't agree with the way of life when they look at some of these black videos and these white videos now, see what we've done to our children. I'm sure that they don't believe in that either. I don't believe in what they're doing. They don't believe in what the people on my side are doing, but does that give them a right to want to annihilate me? Yes, in an idealistic society, it does. The anointing that we possess now has exempted us from suffering, some Christians may say, from harm and danger or possibly even death. Christianity has become the safety net insurance policy that is just a thought away from being fulfilled. We say, rapture me, Lord, and get me out of this mess. I'm not going to be a part of the deluge. Really. We have but to name it and then to claim it. Slam it and then bam it. Jam it or cram it. That's what we do as Christians. And look at our churches today, if you can call them that. This is the most ridiculous display. If your pastor's not a bookseller, he sells dopamine by the tons, trying to entertain you. Blessed or damn it, just take it and run with it. whatever the thought may be, this mentality has spread throughout the culture with such a passion that even some good-thinking Christian people have been seduced to believe in such folly. I wrote this in 2008. And I recall when Barack Obama was elected president and all the folk in the Chicago Plaza standing up there crying and wiping the eyes and the cat. I turned on a horror movie. I did. I didn't even watch that. One thing I can say positive about that meeting in Chicago, the man wore a tough suit. Ooh, Barack can dress. And he got such class and style. That's about the best thing he brought to the White House. He and Michelle brought class and style and put it on the front burner. And that was indeed refreshing. And he with his two daughters, like me with my two daughters, you know, I love that. I just couldn't stand his politics, his lying, hypocritical ways. But he played the puppet so well. I'm not mad at him. There will be times in our Christian experiences when we gain certain victories in our lives. They may be spiritual or physical victories. I give in to that. I'm not an old 74-year-old sourpuss in the year 2018 that don't believe in having a good time. Ask my friends that know me well. I love to party. Oh, yes, I do. We may come into a landfall of financial success. It can be used. We can be wed, to the most beautiful person in the world, which I think I was, and have a house full of children, I think I did, and live wonderful lives void of conflict and terrible trouble, and yes, I did. That's the way I lived my whole life. We could land that career that we went to college to produce and to become the head of an entire department, which I did. I was a pastor of the church. Our children might become pillars in the community and make you so proud that you would think that your heart might burst open. Please don't read me long and read me wrong. I believe that many Christians are reading their Bibles and obeying God's blessed word can have a successful Christian experience. I know this to be true. See, I'm not this old foggish guy that you think I am. I'm a practical realist. I'm not a pragmatist. I don't believe in that because I believe that people can bring about change in your society so quick that you thought you knew your society only to determine that you never knew it. I've lived these victories myself, and I've benefited from God in so many ways I can't mention on this webcast, on this website, on my Facebook, on anything. At the same time, I am aware that there are some of you that will have to struggle with victory, just as Jesus told the Apostle Peter. Know what he told Peter? He said, in Luke chapter 22, verse 31, I have prayed for you, for Satan desires to sift you as wheat. Some of us are going through that. My God, I'll never get ahead. I'll never get out of this debt. And then we blame the white man. We blame this. We blame that. Our children don't want to work a 40-hour job week anymore. Most of our young people are driving these cars trying to make money. Our cities are filling up with too many darn cars. That's why in the city of L.A. we're building railroad stations and train tracks all over the city, trying to alleviate the pain because people are crossing the border at a huge rate. Now, what do I believe about the... You're not going to put up no gate to keep nobody out of this country. You put up a defense, they're going to dig under it, around it, to come to freedom. So they can eat, so they can feed their babies and their children, and darn it, they're right in trying, because if I was there, I'd do the same thing. But I'm no liberal. We must follow what we have. And all we have to assure us safety is a constitution. This shifting now denotes a shaking up of the life. It also entails suffering, times of abandonment, toil, strain, perplexity on an international level as allowed by our Lord. Or I should say an intentional level, not international. In other words, when bad time comes to you, it's an intentional onslaught. God allows that. He's not going to protect you because you're a Christian. There's another scripture where Jesus says it rains on the just as well as the unjust. And that is telling us in very plain language that we are not exempt from that. There will be times when we feel as if God himself has abandoned us. Some of the homes that were devastated in the October 2007 fires in California belong to heartfelt Christians. And I'm sure that not only in that fire, but in this fire that is raging now, there were some heartfelt Christians losing everything. They lost everything also. But I believe that if they're a Christian, they can glorify God on the behalf of losing their stuff. In fact, if they could not do that, the reason for their loss is an evident token that God wrought it. You don't hear preachers talking like that on Sunday morning about the fires, do you? We pray that God keeps us safe. Yeah, right. Preacher, you need to get real with it. Tell them that if it's not a fire, it's going to be an earthquake. It's going to be something. And this last, they call it the holy fire. It was set by an arson. And he told them, I'm going to burn this all down. Looked like he did. I saw the mugshot of him, and he had a wound upside his forehead. So I guess somebody tagged him already. Did he slip and fall? What? We as Christians will be fired from our jobs, beaten by street hoodlums, raped, battered, carjacked, kidnapped, starved, beheaded, along with the rest of humanity. For the word of our blessed Bible says that in this life, those of us that profess to be real Christians, that is, will suffer tribulation. And there's not. There. I don't want to hear that, PJ. You can't talk to me like that. I gave up that sinful lifestyle to come to Christ, and so my life would be, everything would be right. Now, you're telling me that everything can blow up. I'm telling you that this country is on the verge of self-destruction based upon race hate on all sides of the fence here. In John 16:33, the very words of Jesus Christ himself, if he said it, why would you think that it possibly would not come to you? Is Jesus lying about these things? Did he have it all wrong? Could it possibly be that I'm mistranslating that text in John 16:33? Oh, I got it. The word changes or evolves and no longer has the same meaning. Oh, that's what your preacher told you, right? Well, we can't be sure whether Jesus really said this. No, you can't be. See, I don't want a Jesus that only gives me the good time Charlie speeches and doesn't tell me what's really going on. Oh no, my friend, never try to play me. When my time comes to suffer with sickness, pain, and even dying, I am ready to receive it in full measure. What is my reaction to tribulation, suffering, and pain? Rejoicing and praising the Lord, even while in pain. Let me pause right here and say this. I have been suffering since this open heart surgery. I thought that I'd get better. No, man. That double bypass that they gave me That's not enough to fix up this old heart of mine. It beats 1,000 times. Yeah, I know what I'm talking about. I tried to speed it up. A young man told me, he said, come on, John, exercise more. Exercise. You don't know how I'm feeling on the inside of my body. Exercise more. I was up. I had to go to bed, lie down on the couch, and take about an hour nap today, just so my heart could catch up. My diet is different. I eat different. I don't eat these full meals because I can't take it. It chokes me up. I'm an old man. I'm suffering. But I thank him for my nerve endings, which allow me to know him in that way, because I have a sciatic nerve problem in my left leg, moving up my side to my groin and in my hip, and it's crippled me. I rejoice. I thank him if I lose my eyesight. Now I can listen to his voice more clearly by not being distracted from seeing the things of this world. You see what I mean? I compensate. He compensates for me. He is God. I am his child. I know how to weather this. If I can move, I can really appreciate his saying to me in the Old Testament, if I can't move, that is, if I can't move, if I'm paralyzed. He says to me, be still and know that I'm God. All right. I'm digging it. You think most Americans are like that today, man? If the list that I just read off from is a part of their life, they would curse God. I'll never forget the story that was told to me by, I'm not sure, I think it was a preacher. He said there was a rich businessman on his jet, private jet, flying to make the business deal of his life. He and his staff, his secretary, and all of them was with him. And the pilot in the jet said, we have an engine trouble, and we can't repair it, and we're going to lose consciousness because we can't keep air flowing in here, and the plane is going down. And the man was tape recording that owned all this stuff, and he started cursing God. They found the tape recording. Cursing God. No, not now. You can't do this to me. What? What? You? And he cursed God. His last words before the jet crashed in the mountains, the middle of the country. It's cursing God. Man, you know that's a shame. That is a shame. Come on now. Don't get me started. Don't play with me. Does not the Bible say something to the effect that we are not only to look for the good stuff from God, but for some of the other stuff as well? When you look at Job chapter 2, verse 10, Job speaking to his wife after she advises him to curse God like the man did on the jet and die because of his condition of sickness and pus letting sores all over his body. He said to his woman, you speak as one of the foolish women speaks. And since he said one of them, there was a hell of a lot of foolish women speaking. And I want to chide in on that. There's a hell of a lot of them speaking today behind our pulpits from whom God never chose to be there. Never. Ever. I don't care if my mama claims she was a pastor. No, you're not. I don't know why you want to get up there and do that. Well, the community's messed up. There's enough men. There's enough men like me. They've become feminized. They don't know how to step up to the plate. If I had my health, I'd move to Chicago. That's right. If I had my health and some money, I would move to Chicago. I'd get me a little one-bedroom, maybe a little den apartment somewhere, get established, and then I'm going to start walking the streets at night. I know, you tell me, oh, them brothers are going to shoot you. If they shoot me, then God's going to kill me in the streets of Chi-Town. I'm going to get out there and love them brothers. Not afraid of nobody in my community. What in the hell am I doing afraid for the babies, the offspring of the people in my community. And we need to pull it together. Oh, my friend, shall we indeed accept the good from God and not accept adversity? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. One has said in reference to this verse that Job attributed both previous blessings and the reversal of the fortunes to God himself. See, Job knew that it all came from God. God just ain't going to give you no mansion and no car. You know, everybody's praising LeBron James for what he did. Thank you, LeBron. It's a good thing. You're a billionaire. I would expect more from you. As a matter of fact, I would expect for you to tell all those lanky, jank, tall basketball players and muscle-padded football players to do the same thing. Because if all the athletes on the football, gridiron, and the basketball court gave about $10 million of that money they got, the entire black community in this country could be turned around. Hire people like me. Retired people. I don't need much. You know what I need? You know, I figured it out. Maybe $2,000 a month. That's all I need to survive. I'll eat some food and give me a classroom to teach some boys in. Come on, feed them like LeBron is doing. Give them a bike to come to school. They don't have any daddies. I'll be their old daddy in the classroom with white hair. I love my boys, too. I know some of them are going to be rambunctious. But, you know, you need to hire people like me. Instead of people that don't know what to do. Instead of people say, ooh, I got a job. LeBron is paying me. No, you missed the point. It would be foolish to think that they could pick and choose amongst the things that God has sent their way. Oh, and lest we forget, how might we deal with Job 1 and 12 when the Lord speaks to Mr. Evil himself, thereby telling him to bring pain on Job? See, because when you read that, could Job just speak success in his own life? God said to Satan, have you considered messing with my servant Job? And Satan said, I'm not going to. You have to read that in Job 1 and 12. It says, I can't touch him because you got a hedge about him. He's one of your children. I can't touch him. God says, go ahead, bring everything on him. But his life is not in your hands. See what I mean? God has servants. We Christians are supposed to be the servants for God today. If anything, I think that the book of Job, that was a great book in the Old Testament, because that's the whole premise of the thing, showing you how it works. I could go on and on with many examples that we have in the Bible that we are to seek holy living, H-O-L-Y, living, as opposed to living holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y, in this life. We ought to search the text of God's Word. There's no magic words or phrases that we can memorize that will cause our lives to take on the shield of safety from the things that naturally come upon humans of all classes and every social state. And let me tell you something. Earthquakes are coming, tsunamis, tornadoes, hurricanes. Look at my brothers and sisters in the Philippines, what they're suffering now, Leyte, and all those island provinces where my wife comes from. Those people are suffering tremendously. I love what the president of the Philippines is doing. They called him a tyrant before because he said he was going to kill all the drug dealers and the people selling drugs, and he did. He set out a campaign to kill them. He's trying to bring decency back to society. What did the president do? Take money out of his own account in building houses for the people in the Philippines who the flood took away their homes on the hillsides. The president is building homes. Who's helping the Puerto Ricans? Who is helping the Puerto Ricans? Who's helping the Haitians? I'm telling you, Christian church, we a mess. We are a mess. we're to search the text of God's Word. There's no magic words or phrases that we can memorize that will cause our lives to take on the shield of safety for the things naturally coming on humans of all classes and all social strata. We fully accept our plight. If God would relieve our pain and suffering, praise Him for that. If He does not move on our behalf, and you will see in a few months, what's going to happen in this country. God's going to look like He's dead, not even alive, not moving yet. He's turned His back on America because America has turned her back on Him. They live in WHOLLY instead of capital HOLY. If He does not move on our behalf, He is yet to be praised and glorified, as we are taught in the New Testament scriptures. Now, if you want to see where that's taught, you have to go to 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 16. You go to it. I'm not going to read it for you. That's your problem. Oh, I love Pastor John. You pick up that book if you can find it in your house amongst all them video games and things that you have. But when you read 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 16, you will notice that the Apostle Peter says in verse 13, keep on rejoicing. In other words, he says, as the tribulation continues, you just keep on being happy in the state that you find yourself in. When the crash comes in America, it's going to affect me too. Excuse me. But I'm going to keep on being happy. Why would I try to do a webcast and not have my water handy? That's crazy. As old as I am too, come on, cut me some slack. Keep on rejoicing. In other words, as the tribulation continues, you would just keep on being happy in the state that you find yourself in. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. I'm not going to turn to it and read it. You read it for yourself. What is it that being happy in the state that you find yourself in, what is it that Paul is content with? He says, I'm content in my weakness, the insults that I receive, the distresses that I'm going through, the persecutions and difficulties for Christ's sake. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. Man, I thought about that. I was bringing the trash cans in from outside, and my left leg almost gave out. I put too much weight on it, and I'm pulling them cans, and I'm finding out, people, that I can't do a lot of things that I used to do. See, I may feel like a young man in my body, but you know what God is saying to me? John, you old, and you're going to break down just like everybody else. But you know what God is checking? He is checking my attitude. Come on, Christian. Don't you see it yet? And that's, I'm glad I asked that in this writing. Because when I talk to people in person, it seems that most people that's in the church, they don't see it. They don't want to see it. They don't want to see what's coming. I know it's coming. Man, please. They're so busy trying to tell me how I ought to live. I don't want to live like you live. God never told me to try to live like other Christians live. He told me to live the way that God wants me to live. And I'm not going to live to be around a whole bunch of hypocrites like you. I'm talking about the church. They will not admit to themselves that there need to be a differentiation between your hypocrisy and reality. So, as we suffer, it glorifies Christ. If we approach our lives in any other way, we misrepresent God. Paul speaks further about this issue of being whole as opposed to being holy. When you look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. Again, we see the Christians accepting their circumstances without making demands, are bartering with God about the situation. And that's all our Sunday morning worship has become, bartering session. Oh, God, please do this and that. Shut up. Paul says that he is content. He says, whatsoever state I find myself in, I am content. In the Greek, autarkis is the Greek word. I mean, no, there's A-U-T-L, autarkis, autarkis. Paul is saying that whatever God wills to place in my life, I am perfectly content with that. I do not desire changing it. And if he don't desire changing it, that's what it means. If he don't want to change it, then he don't have to change it. I'll go along with that. See, I belong to him. Paul was saying that he had so many experiences in tribulation that his greatest lessons were to face up to what was happening in his life. We have to face up to it. When we talk about our president, Trump, I'm not going to call him no number 44 or 45. You know that man's name, Donald Trump. God allowed that man to be in there. Most of the people in the country wanted him in there. Though some of them are changing their minds now, but they're fickle, they're people. When you put your trust in a man, you're going to get what a man's going to offer you. What did Barack Obama do for black people? Somebody tell me one thing that he did for black people as the first black president. What did he do that was landmark? Nothing. Shut up. All he did was had you looking at Michelle. Would you say, brother, she was fine? What'd you say about him smoking his cigarette and looking cool? You think that runs a country? You can find the same thing in John F. Kennedy and Jacqueline Onassis Kennedy. Same thing. Seeking after money, prestige, everything else. What's this? I hear the Obamas going to try to get a Netflix contract going. Man, what is this? Wouldn't waste my time. He is saying, I have learned that in my being, I have learned in my being instructed in me. This is good. I have learned in my being instructed in me. In other words, what he's put me through and instructing me in as a being, I'm learning how to live with that. This Greek word above has to do with an old Stoic phrase back in Paul's day, self-suffering. We see his further appreciation for this disposition in 2 Corinthians 9 and 8 and 1 Timothy 6 and 6. You can pause your device and look up those texts because the Bible does not disagree with itself. It always agrees. Let me conclude with these words. If we are truly going to stand up for Christ as a Christian, I don't mean as some denominationalist. I don't mean as some existentialist. I'm not talking about somebody floating around in their mind, well, my mom and daddy raised me in the church, so I'm a Christian. No, you're not. Nor are you born a Christian. You must be born again. But if we're truly going to stand up for Christ, we must know what the Bible teaches concerning true biblical holy living, H-O-L-Y, holy living, as opposed to living holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y. You got to know the difference. We are not like people that don't know God. That's the difference. That's what people of the world are. People of the world are people that don't know God on a personal level. We obey all of the scriptures, not just the ones that speak of happy, happy, happy. Ours as a Christian life is a difficult life. It was so with our Savior. If you follow the history, from Bethlehem all the way to Calvary, that was not easy, friends. Oh no, especially the last 7 days of his life before he rose again. See, I believe he's alive now, and that's why I'm still doing what I'm doing. I wanted to die when I had that open heart surgery. You hear me? I was tired of this. I said, okay, God, I got enough stuff on my website. That website's been up since 2002. Why you got me still talking to these people like this? Why? God wanted me to do this because I want them to download it, and so that when that time comes in America, there is a black preacher that told you what your problem was. And I know. I'm not a popular one. We obey the scriptures, not just the ones that we like. Our life is difficult. It's supposed to be. But look at how he lived before us. The servant is no greater than his Lord, right? If he suffered and died, so will we, right? Let us get into the habit of accepting our lot. See, now this doesn't make you weak. This really makes you a strong man. Because if you accept your lot, especially if you have no control over it, then you will live a greater life. Accept the lot that God has prescribed for you. We ought not to listen to men's intention if God has not ordained that for our lives. And that's what your pastors are telling you. Your pastors are leading the wrecked sheep that have no direction, and they're leading you to the bank. So you can write a check from your bank and put it in their bank. If you are not happy with that, go to God on your own. He'll answer you, though you may not appreciate his answer. And I'm telling you this. You go to God about this situation, living holy as opposed to holy living, and ask God, which one are you fond of? Which one are you living up to? See, we're talking about being real here. Do you recall what he answered the Apostle Paul when he went to God 3 times? Asking him to remove this thorn in the flesh. And there's a little controversy about what that thorn was. Some people say that it was a lack of vision. Some people say that, you know, it sounded to me like Paul had sciatica. Really? Ooh. Ooh. That's why I have not gone to God once and asked him to remove this pain. Because do you know what God answered Paul? He said no. Flat out no. And he'll say the same to you if he wishes, without fear. Because you can't retaliate against God. You're going to accept that. Yes, I know that God the Father has no eyes. But are you willingly accepting these words right now? If not, please stop calling yourself a Christian. I'm serious about that. You need to chill out. You're no Christian. And that may be a hard thing for you to hear. You know, John, you're a cold piece of work. I don't understand what you're talking about. I'm not a cold piece of work. All those scriptures are in my Bible. I read it, I believe it, and I'm a believer. Now, these things that you see jumping all up and down in church, looking like crazy Aunt Jemima on the pancake box and all that stuff, and I can say that because I'm a black man. Some of these overweight sisters, they're eating too much pork fat in the first place. And, oh, don't let me get personal. That's not, Lord, forgive me. I am human. Well, I'm going to say goodbye because I've run out of time. So, thank you for listening to me. Thank you for coming to my site. Thank you for being able to reconcile that you are living one of two ways. Holy, capital H-O-L-Y, or holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y. And there's a reason for it. I hope that these words have helped you. I'll be doing more studies like this. I call it keeping it real. This is PJ in the Lucy Coleman studio on this day, the 9th of August, 2018, in Los Angeles, California. Whatever you people do, listen to me. Pay attention. Stand to the Word of God.